was the first person taken to jail for serving free food Santa Cruz. San Francisco had been experiencing these kinds of arrests since the summer when the great liberal mayor Art Agnos had begun arresting Keith McHenry's Food Not Bombs operation in Golden Gate Park because a group of lawyers and developers there decided that serving people free food once a week on Monday would destroy their property values in the hate. Food Not Bombs in San Francisco endured this and weathered this and took over 900 arrests in the last 8 years and continues to serve food twice daily at Civic Center Plaza. Actually, no, they've moved it to UN Plaza. Civic Center's been closed down because the mayor's, the city hall is being earthquake renovated. And now you can get food in San Francisco twice a day at 12 and 6, at noon and 6 in the evening in front of the UN Plaza. So, Linda Edwards, arrested, the first woman arrested, the first person arrested in Santa Cruz for serving free food in 1988. She was also really the last person involved in a food controversy, and that was in 1993. Food Not Bombs as an organization began in Santa Cruz as a local group in 1992. The Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless was formed in the summer of 1992. It occupied the River and Josephine property briefly, which is owned by Caltran across from Stapleton's. And they set up a three-day tent city to dramatize the fact that homeless people in Santa Cruz had no adequate shelter, and more important, or as important, that they were being harassed by police for trying to find their own places to sleep when there were no legal places to be. The city, as some of you may know, has been under a shelter emergency, an officially declared, officially proclaimed shelter emergency since 1990. But that doesn't cut any weight with Rotkin, Kennedy, and the council liberals who are continuing to support police actions against homeless people, continuing to support arrests of people and ticketing of people who are sleeping outside, even though they have no legal place to sleep. Linda Edwards fought all this. Linda Edwards was uncompromising in saying no to this in the most visible and audible way. And when they told her to shut up, she just wouldn't shut up. And so they had to jail her to get her to shut up. And they didn't get her to shut up even when they jailed her. They simply moved her voice into the cells for a while. But you could still hear the echo of it on the streets. But getting back to the thing in 1993, the health department, at the instigation of the city council, again, this is a liberal city council, it was under Mayor Coonerty. Coonerty was mayor in 1993. On the council were such people as Kennedy, Yokoyama, Rotkin, Rittenhouse. Rittenhouse was the only one you might expect this kind of stuff from. I mean, Lee is pretty much of an out-front reactionary, always has been. He's an honest man in that respect. I remember Linda Edwards had a dialogue with Louie once, about a year and a half ago. Linda brought this information that there had been some head bashing done by Troybusters to Louie and asked him what he thought should be done about this. And Louie kind of smiled and shook his head and looked at Linda and said, "Linda, maybe they were trying to give those men a message." And so Linda wrote a letter to the paper about that, which wasn't printed, of course, because Linda Edwards' letters frequently were a little too hot for the Santa Cruz Urinal, or Sentinel, as they call themselves, the Santa Cruz Sentinel. But Linda was quite candid, and Louie was quite candid. The people who aren't candid are the ones who are on the city council who slide and sleaze into office under the name Progressive, but then turn around and act in the most regressive manner, most NIMBY-esque manner, not in my backyard, regarding homeless matters locally. You can find them going to Vietnam, and you can find them sending letters to sister cities, and you can find them receiving Russian delegations and delegations from the Soviet Union back in 88 when there was a Soviet Union. But you don't find them talking about the rights of people who are here in Santa Cruz. And so it is that the vehicular sleeping ban reform, which is the merest fig leaf and pittance and shadow of a reform. What that reform says, as you may remember from last week, or from Friday or last Monday, was that it gives churches the right to allow people to sleep on their property. Some three vehicles will be allowed to park on church property if the churches agree, if the neighbors don't object, if there are adequate facilities, and so forth. I mean, it's trivial. It's minor. It's going to maybe house or provide shelter for 40 or 50 vehicles, total, tops, if all the churches get involved. You know, I mean, who knows? I mean, I'm not giving you I'm not sure how accurate that is, but certainly it's not that many and it's not that much. And it's something that a church should have a right to do. Santa Cruz is the only town I have ever heard of that prohibits vehicular camping or sleeping on private property. In 1988, Lincoln, the Calvary Episcopal Church, the Red Church on Lincoln Avenue, which serves homeless people on Saturday nights, tried to put up homeless people at night because of the viciousness of the police in enforcing the sleeping ban. This was in August, I believe, of 1988. And police actually went into the church and told the pastor if he allowed this, they would arrest him. They would cite the church. And so he had to stop. I mean, it's incredible. The Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program was almost non-existent at that point, and so the pressures on homeless people were much more intense. There was actually the ISSP, which is now a nightly program, operational mostly during the winter, but during the summer we now have, they use the so-called open-air shelter or ghetto field out by Highway 1 and 9. I call it a ghetto field even though I urged its opening, and I applaud its being available. I think it should be available because it's inadequate, and it's used as the excuse for doing nothing. It's as the excuse for urging people to be patient and not to listen to hotheads like Linda Edwards and Robert Norris and Linda LeMaster and Jane Immler and Food Not Bombs when they angrily criticize the way the city is operating with respect to homeless people. So Linda Edwards in 1993, under Mayor Coonerty, was served with a subpoena. She was told that she, Lotus Maynard, and Ray Grunike — Lotus is now the head of Welfare Parent Support Group, or she was head, I think she's resigned, but she's a worker for Welfare Parent Support Group — and Ray Grunike was an attorney who, at that time, an attorney who represented homeless people, and he was virtually the only attorney in town who would do that on any regular basis without charge. He one time made an offer to represent any person arrested for sleeping outside or cited for sleeping outside. And he did. He showed up in court and he represented people. Now, he got in trouble later because he spread himself too thin. He was eventually disbarred and he's now struggling to reestablish his liberal credentials, or his legal credentials, get them in order again. But he's a brilliant attorney, and he was actually successful in overturning a small part of the camping ban, and interestingly enough, that was in the case of Linda Edwards. And that was around the same time that Linda was first arrested for serving food in 1988, in December, at City Hall. He was able to show that a portion of the law was unconstitutional, not the significant part, but a portion of it, and as a consequence, the city went into immediate emergency session, or they passed an emergency law on December 13th that overturned and modified the law to deal with that court decision so they could make sure their cops could go out and harass people regularly and that the law would retain its integrity, if that word can be applied. So there were three people in 1993 in the spring who the city attorney hauled into court and said, "You cannot serve free food." That was Linda Edwards, Lotus Maynard, and Ray Grunike. And the organization Food Not Bombs was also hauled in. Now, these three were servers for Food Not Bombs, among the many who served for Food Not Bombs. And so she was, eventually what happened was the court granted a preliminary injunction, a temporary restraining order. And I believe it became a preliminary injunction against those three individuals But the injunction against Food Not Bombs was found to be defective because of a technicality, and the city attorney never reappeared in court to continue the harassment campaign against Food Not Bombs. That campaign was continued on many other levels. A farmer's market head, Lori, I don't remember her last name, apparently ordered merchants at the farmer's market not to give food to Food Not Bombs, and then lied about it later when confronted with it. But an interesting story was done in the La Gazette last year around that issue. Food Not Bombs has refused to move from the mall. The farmer's market was forced to move, but Food Not Bombs refused to move because they felt that what they were doing was not merely serving people free food, but they were making poverty visible and exposing the nature of the hypocrisy of Santa Cruz, which is putting downtown merchants are putting hundreds of thousands of dollars, or tens of thousands at least, into the so-called hosts program. And the purpose of the host program is to remove poor people from sight. Those poor people who are intrepid enough to sit down on the sidewalk, who ask for spare change after dark or from a seated position, even those who are standing around. Hosts targets musicians playing drums. Hosts will not tell the people whom the complaints come from, so they're acting on the basis of complaints that are kept confidential. They're a little hit squad for the merchants. Food Not Bombs retains its visibility at Cathcart and Pacific on the mall every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. And people who are interested, I encourage people to volunteer for Food Not Bombs. I'm a Food Not Bombs backer. I support them. I've been arrested with them before. And actually, they're not being targeted by police directly now. They haven't been for a year since the May 11th police riot in 1994, when police moved in and beat people up, essentially, for sitting on the sidewalk. That's a whole other story. So, Linda Edwards, first person arrested in Santa Cruz for serving free food in 1988 outside City Hall. First person hauled before the health department in 1993 when Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs was under attack. She's been involved in a lot of food issues, for circulating petitions demanding better food and an end to censorship at the bureaucrat-run Free Meal. Linda was assaulted, reviled, abused, and blacklisted by poverty pimps out there. And though my relations with the Free Meal organization and Karen Gillette have much improved since then, and I don't have any negative things to say about Karen, at least for the last 6 or 8 months, you know, we've been working somewhat in tandem on the Above the Line Community Coalition, which is this new group, which is getting merchant wealth, hopefully getting them to dribble a little out of the homeless services and match up needs and wants and resources. In those days, Gillette was impossible, and she was arresting activists for being activists, peaceful activists. She was determined that nothing would imperil the funding of her food programs, but even more than that, that nothing would imperil her personal power. And Linda Edwards stood up against Karen Gillette's, well, she actually didn't criticize Gillette per se. She felt that the quality of the food should be improved. And she circulated a petition asking that the quality of the food be improved at the Free Meal. And frankly, I've heard lots of complaints recently, so maybe that kind of petition needs to be circulated again. And also that there be an end to censorship, because frequently Karen's staff and some have said Karen Gillette herself would tear down flyers that Linda and others would put up, often flyers that I had written or that Huff had written out there at the Free Meal, which is where homeless people gather at Highway 1 and Highway 9 every night. And when Linda was circulating this petition, one of the employees of the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, a man named Jeff, assaulted her, tore up her petition, and while he did this, and I was present when this happened, Karen Gillette was watching with her arms folded and a smile on her face. Maybe she's just slow to react. But in any case, Karen would spread rumors that we, the activists, were trying to close down her Free Meal, when of course nothing was further from the truth. It was protest that had established the Free Meal. It was protest that expanded the Free Meal and got them a certified kitchen in 1990. It was protests that opened the campground in 1993. protest and politicians finally realizing that that was the only thing they could do. And so we weren't interested in closing down the free meal. We were interested in empowering homeless people and making sure that they had decent services out there, and that if there were complaints, that there were processes by which those complaints could be rectified. Well, Linda Edwards fought for a year to get the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which was then sort of called the William James Association, which oversaw the free meal, to consider the complaints that there was censorship of the free meal, that there was bad food, that she was assaulted by a staff member of the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, with the head of the free meal looking on and doing nothing. At the free meal head had issued orders not to serve activists at one point and barred activists. This was after the protest demonstration in 1991, when Sheila Gottschalk and I and another person were arrested out of 25 people who refused to leave when the Citizens Committee for the Homeless closed its campground in November of 1991, saying they needed it for their community house boondoggle project, if you will, a fanciful project which continues to line their coffers and serve as part of their funding efforts, but never shows up there, and it probably never will. Linda Edwards said no to this. Linda Edwards was assaulted for this, and then later she was assaulted by six homeless people who had been misinformed by the Gillette rumor mill at that time. And again, we speak of times from the past, but I speak of them with some passion, because even though times to some extent may be changing, although I don't spend much time out at the free meal anymore, because frankly it's just not worth the abuse and the tension that develops or has developed in the past, and I'm hoping that there really will be a new era where the free meal should be a place where people can speak freely, where they can organize and come out and deal with real homeless issues that come up. And nor should it be, it shouldn't be a place where people are forced to deal with these issues, but where they are allowed to deal with these issues. And it certainly wasn't from 1990 through 1993 or 4, and I don't know that it is today. So I'm hoping that these matters change. I'm hoping that I get reports that there aren't goon squads telling people to cool it, telling people not to protest. But last I heard from Mark Webster, a guy I call Marathon Mark, who's been pressing to let people have the right to put up tents, which I understand they now have, but get them down by 8 or else you're a bad boy and girl, you know. The right to do different, organize in different ways out there, reasonably, you know, still is not secured. Although I don't wish to make any final judgments on that. In fact, I have a call in to Paul Merceau, who's the executive director of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, as well as the head of the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, and I'm hoping to interview him and talk to him about these issues. He's been heavily criticized by numerous activists, and he should have a chance to respond to these issues. Linda Edwards, however, was a fighter out there. She kept fighting back. It was largely through her year-long struggle with these complaints that there is now a process which the free meal posts. If you have a complaint, there's a process, supposedly, by which the complaints will go through. I don't know. I've never tried that process. I haven't heard any reports on it. I encourage anyone who's listening, if they have information about what goes on and at the back 40 and at the free meal, to give me a call and keep me advised as to what's happening. And I also want to tip my hat at the moment, even though this may seem a little out of character, here to Karen Gillette for apparently making an effort here to keep lines open, at least to me. Maybe she's, I'm not sure what's going on at the meal, and I'm hoping that if people start circulating petitions for free food, they will be taken seriously, or if not taken seriously, at least not have the petitions ripped from their hands. A lot has to do with the leadership out there. I mean, I understand the St. Francis Soup Kitchen, the report I've heard, is actually letting people into the soup kitchen with tie-dyes, although they are still discriminating in their clothing distribution, is what I hear. And that Lee Laboa and Peter Carota, the main voices in the kick out the activists, kick out the deadheads,
sanctimonious, sort of an anti-Christian attitude, if you ask me, but they regard it as good because they think that apparently if you have every tramp in passing through town using the resources, it's not going to leave anything for the local homeless people, the good homeless. This distinction between the worthy poor and the unworthy poor, the good homeless, the deserving homeless, the undeserving homeless, is one that I can understand someone like Carol Buzenhart making. Carol Buzenhart was a leader of anti-homeless activities, tried to get an even tighter sleeping ban in 1990, and now is a big tax crusader, as some of you may know. She crusades to make sure that libraries don't get funded in ways she doesn't like. And she's been successful at that, in organizing middle class and property owner protest. She's really quite effective at it. She's a Capitola or a SoCal hairdresser, and she's involved with right-wing protest, organizing right-wing protest. And you can often hear her talk about her on radio station KSCO, whose name I'm not afraid to say on the air, although KSCO doesn't like it when they censor their own commentators and don't allow their commentators to use the name, the numbers of any rival station, the name or number. You can't say KGO, you can't say Free Radio Santa Cruz 89.3 FM, because Michael Zwirling, the head of that station, apparently thinks it's a cut into his profits. I mean, you know, I like Michael. I think he's a nice guy. I know his father is an optometrist, is also a sweet guy. And Michael has actually put on shows about homeless people occasionally, mostly because they were newsworthy events and drew a lot of interest from the Collins people, and so presumably drew more interest to his advertising. But I've never been able to get a left-wing show on KSCO other than Jerry Brown. I don't consider Eric Schick to be left-wing. He's a liberal, you know, he's an interesting fellow. He has a lot of things to say. He does a lot of interesting research on issues. But the main rant is from DAG, Daryl Allen Gault. The main rag is from Dave Allen, most recently in the press around the militia stuff, and bunches of other right wingers. I'm wondering, are we on the air here? I don't seem to hear me. Oh, I guess we are on the air. There we go. It's still a it's a Scotch tape station here, folks, so bear with us. I was hearing some crackle on the ear. So, you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM. You are listening to Bathrobes Pier's Broadsides. I am Bathrobes Pier Robert. I'm on every Monday and Friday from 10 to 12, and sometimes longer if I can sneak in more time. I'm hoping to interview Linda LeMaster later in this broadcast. She is right now in court. She's fighting to actually stay out of jail for not paying a ticket. She tried to get community service, but Mad Dog Mulligan, actually Meat Grinder Mulligan, we're calling him these days, the judge from the basement traffic court, who I hope that none of you has ever had the misery to go before, but you probably know him, he's cracked down on her, and she's had the case transferred to another court, so she's now in, I believe, in Commissioner Salazar's court. And someday I'll have to do a whole discussion of the court system and Salazar and the kinds of experiences that homeless activists have had in those courts, which is interesting. It's a whole tale of itself. And again, another one of Linda Edwards' achievements is the so-called Edwards-Flory-Jacobs defense. When you're convicted of an infraction that is not involved vehicles, a so-called non-vehicular infraction. For example, the camping ban or sitting on the sidewalk would be non-vehicular infraction. If you're convicted of an infraction, infractions are a kind of crime for which jail is not allowed. They can fine you, they can give you community service, but they cannot give you jail because you're not allowed a public defender in infraction cases, and you're not allowed a jury trial. So the trade-off here, since 1970, when infractions became that kind of crime, is that the authorities cannot give you jail time. But what some judges have been doing when people refuse to pay their fines, or don't pay their fines for one reason or another, or don't do their community service, is they fine them in contempt of court, and then give them jail.
This happened to Robert Flory, Red Top Robert Flory, a homeless activist under the camping ban. And he was making a principled refusal. He said he will not do community service. He would not pay a fine. And it happened to Linda Edwards. She said she would not do a fine. She would not do community service for sleeping outside, for being convicted of that. Well, she used what's called the Edwards-Flory-Jacobs defense. And the defense is that because infraction crimes do not involve jail, they cannot sentence you to jail for those crimes. And if you then do not do your community service or pay your fine, the only remedy the court has is a civil remedy. That is to say, they can sue you for the money, and then they can garnish your wages or confiscate your property. But they cannot put you in jail for that crime. Now, this is still kind of a controversial defense. It hasn't actually been established on a basis, a statewide basis, or a broader basis than Santa Cruz, or even in the Santa Cruz area with any consistency. But Linda has effectively used it, as has Dave Jacobs, as has Robert Flory. Again, all these people are homeless activists, and they're fighting laws like the sleeping ban or sitting on the sidewalk, mostly from a principled point of view. Police didn't beat the bushes to find them. They were engaging in protest conduct around these laws, and the police arrested them when they were protesting. They were doing peaceful protests, but they were arrested anyway and then dragged to court on these issues. But again, it's a particularly interesting situation for homeless people, because if the only remedy for a camping ban case for the courts is to say, okay, we can't put you in jail, we can't make you do community service, we can't make you do a fine, all we can do is confiscate your property, it could become very costly and for the courts to try to have to go after the property of homeless people, because property of homeless people is often very little. What are they going to do, take your toothbrush? I mean, it's kind of boggles the mind. Anyway, that defense was used by Linda Edwards. And when I last spoke to her, she in fact told me that she originated it. There's some dispute about that. Robert Flory thinks he originated it, but we'll let the two of them fight it out, or I can't fight it out anymore. But it's a good defense. It's one of her legacies. And she was successful in using that, and so was Flory. Flory went to jail for a time, but he was released from jail because Superior Court Judge Heather Make-It-Up-As-You-Go Morse, as I call her, or Mockery Morse, and she makes a mockery of justice, did not provide Flory with an attorney or a hearing for his contempt of court. And he got out on habeas corpus, which means that the judge released him, said you can't hold him in jail, the charge is not legitimate. But this is sort of wandering about, and I'm not sure how much of it is clear to folks who don't have some legal sophistication. More about Linda Edwards. For the last decade, she lived in her van, taking no government handouts. She was frequently harassed and ticketed by Santa Cruz police in the course of daily living. Her principal call was for solidarity. When she saw people being ticketed for sitting down on brick planter boxes in Santa Cruz in 1990, she sat down next to them. She led street blockages against the Iraqi genocide in 1990 and 1991. She was repeatedly ticketed and arrested for high-profile support of the 1989 post office homeless vigil, which spent 24 hours a day on the street for 8.5 months at a homeless table, actually 15 homeless tables. The police were very vigorous in taking them away, in front of the post office in downtown Santa Cruz. She was also involved in the 1991 Town Clock Peace Vigil, which lasted 3 months, which was when Dave Jacobs came to town, Wonton Dave, and when Red Top Robert Flory first joined the protest movement. He was originally a Cabrillo student at that point. This was a 3-month protest at the Town Clock, which began as a protest against the Iraqi war and then expanded to focus on local police abuse against protesters. And in order to stop the protesters, the city council turned the Town Clock into a park. May not look too green to you, but there is a sign that talks about closing hours, at the Town Clock Park from 1 to 5. The Town Clock is closed. So actually, on Saturday night, when we did our sleep out for Linda, we violated two laws. The sleeping law and the law against being in a park after closing hours. This business of closing hours, and most parks are closed, real parks like San Lorenzo Park and other parks in the neighborhoods, are closed at dusk, or sometimes even before dusk, but sometimes hours on the park. And this is mainly against homeless people, because some homeless people were using parks to sleep in. And activist Bubba Brian Koepke has often spoken about this, about how abusive this is to homeless people, how public spaces are being shut down for homeless people. And that was one of my main concerns about the downtown ordinances last year, the laws that make it illegal to sit on the sidewalk, ask for spare change, have a nighttime demonstration involving a table or a box, that this is an attempt to remove the homeless from public areas. And it's very sinister. It's very sinister. I mean, aside from the usual Nostrum and cliche that we're all paycheck away from homelessness, it establishes a precedent when you start removing